Amen. Thank you for that song tonight. I appreciate the investment of all of the crew that has worked behind the scenes to bring the live stream to life and to make it possible. And I never thought that I'd preach this, almost this entire series, on the final lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ via live stream. And as that, and with that is our primary ability to present these different passages and so forth. And so it's amazing that we've worked our way thus far, but we're in John chapter 17, and we want to look at three verses tonight. And it's kind of one of these connect the dots messages where the picture itself will actually be very familiar to us, but as we consider the picture, we're going to connect some dots. And I believe that it's a real help to us as we consider the Lord's Prayer for His disciples. Again, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Lord is teaching His apostles a number of different things. And the front side of chapter 14, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." There's a coming event in which you won't understand the totality of what is taking place. The world is going to rejoice. In the same time that the world is rejoicing, you're going to be sorrowful. But as your sorrow is turned to joy, the world's joy will be turned to sorrow. And the key for the believer is to understand that the joy of the believer will never be taken away. And He says on the other side of the bookend there in chapter 16, He said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so chapters 14, 15, and 16, He's teaching the Lord, or teaching the disciples. And now we come to the section of verses where the Lord is praying to the Heavenly Father and the disciples are able to listen in on His prayer. It's also important for us to remember that the disciples asked the Lord in that great statement earlier on in the Gospels. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And they're being given the opportunity to be eyewitnesses to a wonderful conversation between the Son and the Father as He prays for His disciples. We looked at verses 1 through 5 last Wednesday night, and tonight I just want to look at three verses, verses 6, 7, and 8. And again, it's a familiar topic as I present it to you tonight and present the issue, but I tell you, it's a great opportunity for us to connect more dots in the scriptures and see how Jesus lays this out as it relates to the believer's responsibility to the word. The believer's responsibility to the word. Would you look at verse number 6 with me? John chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." A familiar topic, the believer's responsibility to the word. But I want to connect the dots in a different way and paint maybe a new picture for you tonight as we consider these three verses in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Father in front of the apostles. The believer's responsibility to the Word. What do we know about the Word of God? What do we know about God's Word and what He has said? Well, first of all, we know from the Word of God that God's Word is eternal. It is eternal. We also know that it came to us from the Heavenly Father. It has been transcribed by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God was also perfectly given. There's no error in the original manuscripts, and we're blessed with not only the inspiration of the Word of God, but we're also blessed with the preservation of the Word of God. And I believe that every people group and every language around the world needs a faithful translation of that original Hebrew and Greek. I'm so thankful that the Word of God was perfectly given. I'm also thankful that it is complete truth. It is complete truth. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. And the Bible says that all of the scriptures are God-breathed. They are without error, and they are complete in truth. You see, the Bible doesn't just contain the truth. The Bible is truth. And so what do we know about the Word? We know it's eternal. We know it's from the Father. We know it's perfectly given, and we know that it's complete truth. And I believe tonight, from these three verses, we have three obligations to the Word and to the Word of God. So as a believer, I know from the Bible that I have an obligation to the Word of God, but I want to, again, connect some dots and perhaps paint a new portrait for you tonight as we consider our relationship to the Word. First of all, we understand from this passage that we must believe the Word. We must believe the Word. Jesus said in verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And the Bible says at the end of verse 8, and they have believed that thou didst send me. This is the starting point for every person. They must believe that God sent his word and that his word is the final authority for all mankind. You see, we live according to this book, or we ought to live according to this book. This book will not change. As we looked at on Sunday morning, it is our sure foundation. And the Bible says that the foundation of God standeth sure. The Bible says, I have manifested thy name unto the men. The Bible says that light came into the world. Light came into the world that was full of darkness. The light appeared that men might come to the light. And as the Lord is addressing these apostles or addressing the Heavenly Father in the presence of these apostles, we understand this was a group of individuals that had received the light of the truth. They had been given this opportunity to come out of the world's darkness, and they have believed that thou didst send me. There's two important differentiations that I'd like to make tonight as we consider this matter of believing the word. First of all, we understand that all of mankind are a part of God's creation. All of mankind are a part of God's creation. You see, God created every man and every woman. The Bible says that God created them from the beginning, male and female created he them. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So Colossians chapter 1 makes it very clear that we are the product of an intelligent designer. And the Bible says that all of mankind are a part of God's creation. However, in order to be one of God's children, there is a matter of belief. You see, from the moment that I was conceived in my mother's womb, I was a creation of Almighty God. The Bible tells us all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 that we've been made in the image of God. But there came a time in my life when I went from not just being a creation of God to being a child of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, we're brought into this world as a part of God's creation. But there is a matter that must be applied to each life, and it is that matter from the word called belief. And I step away, or I step into being into the family of Almighty God. I'm not just a part of God's creation, but now I am now one of God's children. Galatians chapter 3 in verse number 26. For ye are of the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The first thing that we look at in this passage is we must believe the word. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says here in verse number 8, the apostles have believed that thou didst send me. They had in their own lives accepted Jesus Christ as the answer for their eternal life. You see, there were 12 original apostles. All 12 were a part of God's creation. They'd all been created by God, and they'd been created for God. 11 of them, though, made a choice to believe God's word. And those 11 went from not just being a part of God's creation, but those 11 went on and they were then God's children. We must believe God's word. If you tonight have not yet believed in the word of God, then my friend, today is the day. You know, we're not saved by the works of our own hands. We're not saved by what we can conjure up and by what we can do to be a good citizen or a good moral character in our society. The truth of the matter is that we are saved by faith through grace. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that we are not saved by the works of the flesh, but according to the mercies of Almighty God. And so if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand this. You are a part of God's creation. God did create you. He does have a purpose for your life, but you're not yet one of God's children. It's a mistake for us to say that everyone that's alive is one of God's children.